This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to 93.3 CFMU Radio. This is Progressive Voices. I'm Riaz Sayani-Malji. Today I'm joined over the phone by Sarah King. Sarah is the full-time chairperson of the Canadian Federation of Students Ontario, in which she serves as the official spokesperson and helps to coordinate the campaigns and government relations of the Federation. Previously, she served two terms as Vice President Finance of the Student Federation of the University of Ottawa. Sarah also served as the Ontario Treasurer of the Canadian Federation of Students last year. Outside her involvement in Federation campaigns during her time at the University of Ottawa, Sarah has been dedicated to social and environmental justice, ranging from coordinating a campus food collective to implementing a bike cooperative and a bottled water ban. Sarah, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be talking about sexual violence and rape on university and college campuses. To begin, Sarah, what do we know about sexual violence as it occurs on university and college campuses here in Canada?
I think that the most basic and striking point is really that we know that sexual assault is most prevalent on university and college campuses and most prevalent among the age group that is largely represented at our university and college campuses. So the kind of 18 to 25 age group. That's not to say, of course, that students aren't outside of that, but the largest range is, of course, that age group, and that is the highest. That's where we see sexual assaults happen most.
And do we have any statistics about what sort of numbers we're looking at in terms of sexual assault on campuses?
Well, what we do know is that it is extremely underreported. One of the statistics is that 1 out of 10 sexual assaults are actually reported to police or to campus security. But there's statistics around how many people experience some form of sexual violence in their life. You know, women, of course, largely represented in that demographic of people who've experienced sexual violence. And about half of women have experienced some form of sexual violence in their lifetime, I think is one of the more noted statistics.
Could you explain to our listeners the idea of stranger danger when talking about rape and how it may or may not be problematic?
Sure, yeah. I mean, something that definitely has really harmed our understanding of sexual assault is the idea, like the this can't happen to me mentality or this mentality that sexual assault is something that does not actually affect that many people. And of course, the reality is that it's very prevalent, and not just a handful of very effective perpetrators, but many perpetrators, mostly men. And additionally, the reality is that the majority of sexual assaults actually happen by someone that you know, whether it's a friend, an acquaintance, a current or previous partner. This is the majority of sexual assaults that does happen. And so what this translates to, the message that it's strangers, is the mentality that women should be taking precautions to be safe. This mentality leads to victim blaming, and it also leads to the outcome of not actually taking measures to address the real problem of sexism and misogyny and how that actually plays out in society and on our campuses.
Many student unions run student pubs or clubs right on campus, so I would contend that it's not inaccurate to say that rapes are occurring as a result of that in the dormitories and student housing, and especially during times of frosh and orientation week. So what are university administrations and student unions doing about this? And in your opinion, are they falling short in any particular area?
There's a couple kind of different aspects there. I think, first of all, in my experience, student-run pubs can actually be safer spaces than, for example, pubs downtown or pubs on campus that aren't run by students, mostly because student unions are generally pretty good about properly training staff, and there's often safe walk home programs on most campuses, so this can actually provide an additional measure to make sure that people get home safe after going out of the bar, right? And often there's also information in student-run pubs about consent. For example, at the Ryerson Students Union, they often table during pub nights and hand out information about their Consent is Sexy campaign, as well as the No Means No campaign, which is a campaign of the Federation that's present on campuses across the country, actually. And it's not to say that sexual assault doesn't happen there and doesn't happen on campuses and in student-run spaces, but there are measures that are taken there. Now, the question of what else is being done is definitely another one. Student unions are active in pressuring administrations to either create or improve policies that are related to sexual violence, whether it's response protocols, things like this. When I was at the University of Ottawa, for example, our Women's Resource Center was working actually with Campus Protection to improve the wording that actually was on their website, because the wording that they were using on their website around sexual violence was very much victim blaming and did not create a space where women would feel comfortable reporting, for example. And so we worked to change that language. Student unions also provide services like Pride Centers, Women's Centers, sexual assault support lines on some campuses, and also run federation campaigns, like I mentioned, the No Means No campaign. And the question you raised of orientation and Frosh Weeks, most student unions do make an extra effort during Frosh to promote safe and consensual sex by educating Frosh guides, for example, on rape, as well as including information and condoms in Frosh kits that go out to first-year students. Now, the question of administrations, many administrations have definitely been reluctant to act on reports of sexual violence, whether that's informing the student population of an incident or even in their response to the victim or survivor. And often this comes from a fear of harming the college or university's reputation. There's also a lack of adequate reporting mechanisms, whether, as I mentioned, campus security might not be supportive or open to hearing about these reports and might not address them adequately. Or on some campuses, some of the security measures in place, like the blue lights, don't work. And so one thing that's actually we're working on at the Canadian Federation of Students at the Ontario level right now is producing an anti-sexual violence toolkit, which is a series of resources for both individuals and student unions to work on improving administration policies and conduct an audit on how sexual violence is actually dealt with.
Sarah, to what extent is the situation of sexual violence on campus reflective of broader society? And what do you see as ways to combat rape culture, both on campus and in our society?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's definitely the reality that sexism and misogyny exist on our campuses and off. We've seen most recently there's men's rights groups that have been more active, most notably at the University of Toronto, but we're seeing them on a lot of campuses. And these men's rights groups are generally off-campus groups. They're generally not students that are running them, and there's a lot in the States and in Canada as well. And they're trying to build a message on campus and off that sounds as though they're trying to raise the profile of real problems that men do face and how to solve them. But instead, what they're actually doing is promoting rape culture, in many cases actually justifying rape and violence towards women, and are really perpetuating a system of sexism and misogyny in society, and really harming any movement to challenge sexism and to work towards a more just society. But it's not just these groups, right? Rape culture exists, and we do exist in a society that has been socialized to support violence towards women and sexism.
But it's also important for individuals to challenge themselves, to reflect on the language that they're using, to reflect on how they can challenge friends who may say things that promote rape culture, for example. There's a lot of ways that we can be challenging our own language and making sure that we're not unintentionally reproducing sexism and rape culture in our own interactions.
We have to be challenging the way that we respond to sexual violence. We have to stop blaming women, which happens in the courts and by the police, but also by our peers, and listening to women and respecting their experiences. We also have to work to challenge structural barriers that women face, like pay equity and access to childcare, right? Women it must be noted as well that all marginalized genders and trans folks, for example, are also targeted largely by violence and sexual violence, and are also facing a lot of barriers that make sure that either, like I mentioned, pay is not equal, or that our education system is not meant to support women or trans folks. And so we need to be addressing all of these barriers at various levels to make sure that the opportunities are there to challenge these things. And I think a lot of work is being done by a number of organizations and on our campuses and also through the work of the Federation to work towards more equity on a number of levels, and also continue to challenge the way that our society does react to sexual violence in general.
Just to wrap up here, Sarah, is there a website or resource you could direct our listeners who are interested in learning more about sexual assault and ways they can organize themselves on college and university campuses?
Well, like I mentioned, our anti-sexual violence toolkit is going to be launched actually in the next week, and so that will be found on the CFS Ontario website, so CFS ontario.ca. It's not up yet, but within the next week or two, it should be completely live. And, you know, students should always be looking towards their student union as well for support, as well as to find out what is actually happening on their campus specifically. Where there's women's centers, that's always a good place to start as well. And they can always direct individuals to resources, whether it's a support line or another organization that's doing work. But in our communities, there's a lot going on. And one of the resources that we've compiled through as part of our toolkit that we're producing is actually a list of organizations that not only provide support, so if somebody finds themselves in a crisis situation, they can access these support resources, but also a list of organizations that are doing work on this issue so that people can plug in if they're interested in working more on combating sexual violence either in their community or on their campus.
Awesome. Sarah, I'd like to thank you so much for joining me on the show today and giving us your insight on sexual assault on college and university campuses.
Awesome. Thank you so much for covering this this issue and having me on your show.
Thank you, and take care.
You too.
This is Progressive Voices on 93.3 CFMU Radio. Progressive Voices is also available online at news site rabble.ca. You can access Progressive Voices at www.rabble.ca/podcasts/progressive-voices, where you can find all of the show's episodes uploaded as MP3 files. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Take care, and I'll talk to you next week.